The Boyhood of James I. James I was born in Edinburgh Castle in the year 1566, and a messenger was at once sent to tell Queen Elizabeth that Mary, Queen of Scots, had a son. Elizabeth was in her palace at Greenwich when the news came, and it did not seem to please her. Those around her thought she had bad news, for she sat quietly down, holding her head with her hands. "Your Majesty is in trouble," said one of her ladies after a while. "Yes, the Queen of Scots has a fair son, while I have none," she replied. Elizabeth knew that if anything happened to her, this same fair son would be King of England. Next morning she dressed in one of her most beautiful gowns to receive the messenger, and sent a very kind message back to Mary with a present of a gold font, which was worth a large sum of money. Mary was such a heedless woman that she gave great offense to her people, and in 2 years so many dreadful events happened that she was obliged to give up the crown and to go as a prisoner to a castle. The baby prince, who was only 13 months old, was made King of Scotland in her stead. Two noblemen, in the name of the young king, promised to keep law and order in the land and to do their utmost for the welfare of the people. James was placed under the care of a very strict master, who was not at all satisfied with his pupil. It is said that once, when James had to receive a minister from a foreign court, they were obliged to talk in Latin so as to understand each other. But James spent his time in correcting all the small faults made in speaking by the visitor. When the meeting was over, the minister asked the tutor why he had made his pupil such a vain scholar. "Sir," said the tutor, "I was thankful to be able to do as much as that." In his 13th year, the young king met his parliament and made a speech about the benefits of religion and peace. But he does not seem to have been fond of work, and we are told that, unlike young Edward VI, he was very ready to sign all sorts of papers without paying any attention to what they contained. His tutor tried to correct this fault. One day, just as James was starting out to hunt, he brought him a paper which was signed at once. In the evening, the paper was set on the table before the king, and James read it for the first time. "See," said the tutor, "you have thus thoughtlessly signed away your crown, for in this paper you say that you willingly give up your right to the throne." James was so sorry that he wept aloud, but the tutor eased his mind by throwing the paper into the fire. "I did this," said he, "to teach you a lesson. Always read what you have to sign. It is a wise thing to do and will save both you and others much pain and trouble." James does not seem to have shown much sorrow at the death of his unhappy mother, who was executed by the English. He ordered prayers to be said for her in all the churches and was very angry when they were omitted. But he was much more careful to keep on good terms with Elizabeth, his mother's enemy. James had friends at the English court, and no sooner was Elizabeth dead than a lady, who was by her bedside, threw a blue ring out of the window. Her brother was waiting for it, and without delay, Sir Robert Carey carried the news to Scotland, taking the ring with him to show James that he was now the King of England as well as of Scotland.